Ladies and gentlemen in Radio Land, you have now just entered 4th Street. My name is Kobe.
I'm Charles, not Charlie.
I'm Charlie, not Charles.
Don't mix us up.
And Smooth Austin.
And we are the 4th Street Sportsmen, and this is the 4th Street Sports Show. And welcome to the 4th Street Sports Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for catching me off guard during the intro. Let me restart the intro. Ladies and gentlemen in Radio Land, welcome to the 4th Street Sports Show with Kobe.
Charles, not Charlie.
Charlie, not Charles.
Don't mix us up.
And Smooth Austin.
And we have a jam-packed show for you guys today. We have our Eagle Eye coming up, which I'm going to pass to Charlie in a minute. We have a special guest on 4th Street today. Also, we will be having our debate on the women's basketball team exhibition and with Charlie and Austin and with Charles. So, were you at the game last night?
I was.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, what y'all had pretty much, I'm probably going to have to sit this one out because I wasn't at the game last night. But
loser.
hey, homework. Homework, bro. Homework. But anyway, we will have a debate and we will get their thoughts in. What they have to say about what they saw from the team last night. And also we will be giving our flowers. And boy, oh boy, we have a lot of flowers to give. I might just give one out during our interview. Who's to say? Stay tuned. But now we will pass it to Charlie for our Eagle Eye.
And I'm going to pitch it to Austin.
Oh, look at the lob. Got the lob. Oh, snap.
Oh, yeah, we go to state over here. We pass
it. Was smooth.
It was like a no-look pass to a lob right there.
Look at Charles, man. Passing off the dime.
So inspirational. Right.
So, guys, welcome back to the Eagle Eye. We are here with none other than myself. Smooth
cool.
Loss. All right. So, in some fairly good news, I would say myself. We all are soccer fans. Charles been the biggest out of the crew.
Yeah, I've been at every game but the opening home game. home, that is.
Yeah.
I'm not traveling.
Charles is our most faithful soccer guy.
Yes.
And shout out to Charles. He was actually on hand to see Southern Miss Soccer be crowned as CUSA West Division champions for the first time in program's history. Coming into Thursday, they only needed just one win or a tie, and they got just that at 1-1. Senior goalkeeper Kendall Minnick would be a huge leader and make a huge emphasis on this game, recording 9 saves. And freshman Ilana Izquierdo netted the team's goal to tie the match at 1-1 in the 67th minute, which I would say is fairly clutch, guys.
Yes.
Yeah, she's been clutch all season.
Yes, she has, and was named to be CUSA Freshman of the Year, which was a huge, big prize to her. And just we wanted to send thanks and congratulations to her, scoring the most goals for the Golden Eagles on the season, being just a freshman. Mm-hmm. Also, Golden Eagles, they held the lead going into the 2 overtime periods to seal the deal. Now Golden Eagles have a bye. The Golden Eagles have a bye, which they will actually play FAU, who defeated Charlotte this afternoon, matter of fact, should I say myself, in Boca Raton at the CUSA Championship Tournament there. Moving on to cross country, we saw cross country finish 4th overall in the CUSA Championships in Charlotte, North Carolina, finishing with a total of 129 total points. Junior Lena May, who is actually sitting here right with us right now in studio.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. I just spoiled it. I'm sorry. She led the way for the Golden Eagles, finishing 4th overall in the race to actually be awarded first team all conference there. So congratulations to her and the rest of the cross country team with Coach Gibson and crew. Volleyball, they did not look so great, guys, I must say. They won Friday and they lost Saturday to Louisiana Tech this weekend to finish up their final home games of the season. The Golden Eagles split the series against the Bulldogs as they lost their senior night in five sets in a heartbreaker to Louisiana Tech.
Now the it wasn't five sets. It was four.
It was four sets. Yeah. Oh, my bad. I thought it was five.
Sir.
Correction. Shout out to Tars again. Fact checker. Golden Eagles. The Golden Eagles are now 11-5 and now turn on the road for their last two games of the season. They will not be able to enter in the CUSA tournament coming up. Fun fact also, Mia Wesley is currently sits number 11 on the NCAA charts for the most kills in the country with 389.
Yeah.
Football. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Kenzie Smith in that second match, even though they lost, 43 assists and 17 digs was a big performance for them.
Absolutely. Shout out to them.
Anyways.
So just like to point out.
Yeah, she was on 4th Street Player of the Week award.
Mia Wesley, 389, 0 KD ratio.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Mia. Let's shoot for top 10.
Yeah. Hopefully she gets there. She's knocking on the door, literally. Mm-hmm. Moving on to football, they also did not do so great, losing to Middle Tennessee 35-10. It's not too much to say, but the Golden Eagles had five turnovers and one block in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. The Golden Eagles defense also, they did, on the bright side, force four turnovers. So that was a good thing for them. But it was not great. They played four quarterbacks. And we'll see what they have coming up next here for a home game this Saturday against North Texas. Passing it over to you now, Charlie.
Hold up, quickly. Our friend of the show, Mr. Trevor Richie, he got into a little one-man Royal Rumble with a lot of USM fans, including one significant USM fan. You want to talk about that, Charles?
So after the game ended, he was reporting what happened, naturally, because he is a journalist, a very good one at that. He was just basically talking about the quarterback struggles of the team. And one of our quarterbacks' mothers, I'm not going to drop a name, but she sort of got into it, and she kind of got a little bit annoyed with how he was reporting it. So what transpired was like a 12-tweet debate between the two of them, and it was kind of insane. I'm not going to go into too much details, but I will say it did have a happy ending. Gifts of handshakes were exchanged at the end of the debate, so I guess they're on good terms now.
Yes, a very clean debate. Just had to make that comment, so I'm going to pass it back to you, Charlie.
For basketball news, Charlie.
Yeah. I just want to say, football, I think a lot of that frustration is coming from a 1-7 start, which Southern Miss has had Southern Miss has had a winless season, but actually going through the record books, you know how I did that. 1-7, they've never had that specific record. Just an interesting tidbit. Mm-hmm. But moving on to women's basketball, another weird record-breaking performance was last night. Three of us were on hand, not Kobe.
Loser.
Why are we throwing shade at Kobe like that, man?
Women's basketball, I can't do this in 2K, y'all. They won 9-18.
That means you suck at 2K then.
Hey, come on. Yeah. Okay.
You know what? That's karma. We threw shade at him. He throws shade back.
91 point differential. That's real life basketball. That's hard to do on a basketball court, no matter the competition. No disrespect to Southeastern Baptist. You know, they came out and played. Don't know how much of a gauge that was for this team competition wise, but still. We got to see a lot of what these players, new players, are and how they play. And I think Dominique Davis, the LSU transfer, really showed her game. She just showed she might not be playing point as much as she was in that game, but she showed that she's comfortable with the ball. She's comfortable with making those plays. And that's something Coach McNellis told us at practice on 4th Street was that she's the bucket getter. And they've needed that bucket getter for a couple years now. She finished the game with 15 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and 3 steals. Just an overall great effort from her. Overall, 6 players finished in double figures. Fess Hawkins got 14, Kelsey Jones got 13, Malia Grayson got 12. So we really saw a great action in that front court. They were playing bully ball, to be honest. And Lauren Gross, their shooter, got 10. Asha Leek got 10. And really, overall, what I like what Charles and I were looking at was their passing. It's something that Coach McNella said after the game. She was really impressed with their passing.
Yeah, absolutely. And their defensive prowess as well. Lots of good steals out there. Lots of good rebounds out there as well.
And that's something that I've noticed all the time watching Coach McNellis' team. We'll go more in depth in our debate, but just of how much of an emphasis she puts on defense. But anyways, a 91-point win, that's something to move on from, right? You got that under your belt. And next game, they'll start their regular season November 9th against William Carey in the Reed Green Coliseum at 7 p.m.
I still think that should be called the Battle of Hattiesburg.
Yeah.
Let's make that happen.
The Battle of the Berg.
Francis, I know you're listening. Make that happen. Thank you.
Also,
we love you.
one more thing I wanted to add on the men's basketball side today. I don't know if y'all probably all saw that poll by Sports Illustrated, yes. But Southern Miss was ranked 215 and SI's 358 poll.
They did, in fact, get that logo on the front page.
Yeah, they did.
All the logos.
They did.
So
that's what.
Yeah.
So that's the real win. Yeah.
So definitely check out your Lady Eagles against William Carey. Also, the men play this week, right? November 4th?
Yeah, they play Thursday.
Yes. Thursday, yeah.
Against
Thursday.
Delta State.
Delta State. So yes. Check that out. That's another exhibition. Am I correct?
Yes.
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 And if you want to check student prints, we've got previews coming on the way. We have one up for women's basketball, and men's will be coming too.
Yeah.
We got a lot in store for student media here. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
keep us locked
yes.
in.
But you know what? We're going to go ahead and move on now. We're going to take a little break so that we can give our guest a little bit of time to get into her seat, as Austin accidentally revealed earlier. We have Lena May in the building. So,
yes. So when we come back, Lena will be heading towards 4th Street, and we will have a chance to interview her, and it should be a great time. So when we come back, all this and more on the 4th Street Sports Show. When we come back, this is Southern Miss Radio.
4th Street Sports.
And we're back on the 4th Street Sports Show. With Kobe, Charlie, Charles, and Austin. And we have a special guest here today on 4th Street Sports Today. And this is the second member of the cross country team that we had on, especially after the first being the head honcho, Mr. Mm-hmm. Nick Gibson. And now we have one of the stars from the cross country team, Miss Lena May. How you doing, Lena?
Hey guys, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're pleased to have you on the show. Just a great season that you've been having so far.
Thank you.
We're on our number 4 athlete on the show. We love to get athletes.
We're on a roll right now.
Yeah, we're on a roll.
Yeah.
Now, just recently, you were named first team all conference. Like, can you tell me what this season has been like? Because your name has been brought up a lot in cross country meets. And, like, can you tell me what this season has been like so far?
Yeah, it's been fun, that's for sure. It's been really interesting, you know, having a new coach and everything. At the beginning of the year, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen, what was going to look like, because it was such a last-minute change. But, I mean, it's been amazing. Coach Gibson has been stepped in and just been an amazing coach. And, it's been really fun. And, of course, it's fun being more at the top of the pack and at the races and everything. It's been really rewarding, a lot of hard work. And last season was a little rough. I didn't get to run cross country because of an injury and stuff. So, it's really cool to see all the hard work paying off and just having fun and traveling with the team and, just getting out there and working hard.
Right.
Speaking on your injury, you said it was a stress fracture. That was a tongue twister. Just talk about the process and what did it take for you to come back from that and just to see yourself break out this year, not just in cross country, but you also had did a stellar job in the outdoor season this year. Just talk about just coming from that injury and just having that breakout season and what was that factor for you that allowed you to come back this way and this strong?
Yeah, it was tough, that's for sure. It was a long process. Just first, like, even figuring out what the injury was took a while. And, it stinks whenever I got hurt, I was definitely in the best shape I'd been in, like, in my life. So when that happened, it was pretty rough because I knew I was going to have a good cross season. And, with the, like, just support from my team and my coaches, you know, they just helped me, like, stay strong. And then I was able to cross train. So like that means like biking and swimming and aqua jogging, which is like running in the pool. And I just had to stay locked in and still stay focused, even though I wasn't able to run, and to keep working hard. And, you know, I mean, it was tough. It was definitely tough not getting to do what I do, not getting to do the thing I love every single day and get out there and travel with the team and all those things. But I definitely learned a lot from it. And, I mean, it's just part of distance running. It's part of being an athlete. It's going to happen. And I definitely learned a lot in it. And I think now I'm like a smarter runner. You know, I understand the importance of recovery even more than I did then. And, yeah, I think it's helped me a lot in like where I am today, for sure.
And what was it like at that first event when you came back from your injury? It was in the outdoor season, correct?
Yeah. No, it was indoor. Conference.
Indoor, mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So how was that event for you?
Well, I mean, yeah, I didn't know how it was going to go. Well, I knew that, like, training had been going well at that point, and I thought I was ready. And considering it was my first race back, it went well. And that was the meet we ended. I almost didn't run it. Our head track coach, Coach Stu, mm-hmm. like, talked our distance coach into letting me do it. Coach Kent wasn't going to let me do it at first. And we ended up winning indoor conference that year. So, I mean, it was... I mean, every single person's points mattered, but it was really cool to see, like, wow, if I hadn't gone, you know, we may not have won. I mean, saying that with every single person showing up and doing what they needed to do, but it was amazing getting to be a part of that, and it would have been, it really would have stunk to be knowing I was sitting at home and I get to be a part of that, but, I mean, it was cool, and then came back for a pretty good outdoor season, and, yeah, thanks.
And what was your mindset when you first got started up again for that first season when you came back from that injury?
Oh, I was just so stoked and so excited to get back out there again. Yeah, I just love running. I love, like, the feeling of it. Just, like, I guess it feels kind of, like, free to me. I just feel free when I'm running. And being, like, stuck in a pool for, like, 3 months or however long it was not fun to me at all. But so I was just so excited. And I wanted to go, like, faster and just, like, just start doing, you know, higher mileage instantly. But, you know, had to ease into it, but I mean, it was just fun to be back out there. It was cool.
We talked to Coach Gibson on just preparation and just, like you said, you spoke on recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Just talk to me how much of a like you said, how big that was, but tell me a little bit of extra terrain and how big that helps a cross country runner in recovery and just simply just being a better runner, sort of to speak. Like you also said about aqua running and how difficult that was.
Yeah.
How big is cross terrain from water to sand to other different various forms of landscape?
Yeah. It makes fundamental. It makes a big difference for sure. You want to get off the pavement as much as you can because then you get prone to shin splints. And other stuff is just harder on your body. So, you know, we try to go some places where we run on, like, some dirt, like, we go out to Camp Shelby and run. There's this road, we just call it River Bottoms, like, 20 minutes from the school. It's just this backwoods country road, and it's fun to go run out there. And, you know, sometimes we hit the trails on the trace, and, yeah, that's super important. And, yeah, sometimes we cross train once a week. It's just, like, a good way, like I said, it's, like, swimming, aqua jogging, biking. It's a good way to get in more mileage and more training without doing more pounding on your body and actually, like, running. And so it, like, keeps you a little more in shape, but, you know, less prone to getting injuries and stuff. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
When we first talked to Coach Gibson, he was like impressed of how y'all were already in your routines, just getting at it. Mm-hmm. Could you give a little light to what y'all's routine kind of looks like, whether it's group running or just maybe your individual workout, like, how, you know, what time do you set your alarm clock up? How much are you working on it per day?
Yeah, all our routines are pretty similar. We all have definitely, like, different things, you know, that we do to get ready. For me, which I get made fun of a lot on our team because I like to wake up, like, an hour before practice, which a lot of times we're starting at 5:30, so I'm getting up at 4:30. Like, I feel like I'm still asleep if I don't wake up an hour before. And, like, I like to drink my coffee, and I read my Bible in the morning. And, yeah, I just like to have some time to wake up and relax and then get out before we get out there and start running. And, we either go to the track or we run on the trace and stuff like that. And then we, you know, warm up and do our workout and go eat breakfast and get ready for the day.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. In your preparation, I know it's mostly cardio. Do you use like any weightlifting or weight training in it, like leg day or anything like that, mostly?
Yeah, yeah. So we like go in the weight room, which, you know, like right by the football field in the athletic center. We go in there twice a week, which we haven't recently because we've been kind of backing off, freshening up for conference and regionals coming up. But yeah, twice a week we go and hit the weight room, and it's nothing like super heavy. But you know, I'm definitely already seeing progress from it, and yeah, it definitely helps a lot. Like having a strong core and a strong upper body for running helps.
This is something we gotta ask every student athlete, just managing, you know, the workload. But you just said 4:30. So yeah. What time are you going to sleep? Do you sleep?
8:30. To get 8 hours of sleep doesn't always happen. Sometimes sometimes I get to bed a little late, but yeah, I try to get my 8 hours. I'm pretty big on getting sleep. It's important. Yeah. You got to recover.
And what about Coach Gibson said he likes to go to cookout a lot. Do you like to kind of splurge a little off of your, you know, diet that might be restricted with running?
Oh yeah, off season I go hard. Like, we're getting pizza, we're getting ice cream, we're doing it all. And I mean, eating is also one of those things that's a little different for everyone. Mm-hmm. For me, I've had to be really like diligent and pretty restrictive in some things. I have like some allergies, and in high school I had asthma, and like I figured out, you know, eating certain things, not eating certain things really helped. So for me, I have to really be careful. So off season I go ham on all the other foods and stuff.
During the season, is it like mostly protein, is it vegetables, fruit, like how, like what is it mostly though?
Yeah protein, vegetables, carbs is huge. Definitely. I guess like my pre-race meal, which also get made fun of a lot for, it's broccoli, rice, and salmon. That's like my go-to. It's just been my go-to.
That's respectable.
Since
respectable. How can anybody be mad at
it? It smells so bad. So my roommate hates me. Whoever's my roommate, but nah, it's funny though. But yeah.
Going back to that 4:30 question though, have you ever pulled the all-nighter before? I just gotta ask the question, like all-nighter to up 2:30 in the morning or something.
We're trying to,
like,
see if you're human.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I know college work is difficult at times and stressful. Like, what's the latest you've been to sleep?
I've definitely pulled all-nighters before. I don't know if I have since college though. I mean, I've gotten back late. I've went to like concerts and stuff, but it's always in the off season.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, in season 4:30. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty, pretty diligent with that. If it like gets too late and I have homework, I'm just like, well, shut the computer. I'm like, I'll do it in the morning. It's time to go to bed.
And in your spare time, I know you say you like to do a lot of things off season, but maybe if you have any hobbies during, you know, just throughout the season, what do you like to do in your spare time?
Yeah, I mean, I guess most of all, I just love like hanging out with my friends, going to get coffee, or having like dinner. We'll have like team dinners sometimes. That's always fun. I'm pretty involved at my church and have a lot of great friends there. So I spend a lot of time there. I like to read a lot. That's something I enjoy. And I've kind of been teaching myself how to play guitar a little bit on YouTube, which I wish I had more time to do because I really like it.
But, nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, also when we talked to Coach Gibson, he said he was very surprised about how much of a well-knit group you guys were. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys were very, very close. Did that take a while for you to come together, or was it like just off the bat that y'all became so close?
Yeah, it actually took a lot of like intentionality to bring that, to get us all together. So like last year with COVID and everything, you know, we knew like our freshmen weren't getting to go to class. They weren't getting to like really go make friends and stuff. And like, I mean, we were already like a good friends and a tight team, but me and a couple of my other like older teammates were like, let's like make sure that they feel at home and that this like feels, you know, that they're not just sitting in their rooms all day doing homework online. And then so we started just kind of having dinners, and then once we started that and we just all got super close, and then it was just, I mean, it was just natural. Not that it was unnatural before, but you know, it was really awesome and special and such a tough year for everyone for us to have each other. Yeah.
What do you think you learned most from last year. I talked to Cassidy, which was one of those freshmen, and everybody seemed to kind of have, you know, their own experience during those times. What do you think you took away from that season or just that year in general?
Yeah, well, going home and, like, track season getting canceled whenever COVID started, I think I learned how important rest was because everything stopped and until, like, actually relax and just be at home and stuff like that. I definitely learned that. And, yeah, I learned – my priorities kind of shifted a little bit, like, with – I mean, COVID, I mean, you know, you didn't know, like – it was so scary. You didn't know who was going to get COVID. You didn't know if you were going to, you know, I mean, this is like super extreme, but like if your whole family was going to make it through it or not. So just like that, like the people and your family and your friends and your relationships, like that's what's most important, you know, not even school, not running or, you know, you name it, like the relationships in your life. That's like what's really important.
Your emphasis on that kind of showed in an event that I believe Charles and Austin were at.
Yes.
Just your involvement in Lucky Day, am I correct?
Yeah.
So could you talk about that event? I really wanted to go because there was coffee involved. But could you talk about what inspired you to put on that event and what it meant for you?
Yeah, it was super fun. So it was for my senior project, so... that was my biggest motivation, but I mean, no, it was so fun. So it was a concert. It was just an acoustic show, and it was I partnered with Lucky Day, which is a community service based organization on campus, and they have this little coffee shop room on campus. So, and then with that, I also partnered with Edward Street Fellowship Center, which is a great local nonprofit here. And so it was like free admission, coming to the concert, just acoustic, hang out, chill. Grab a coffee, and then we just asked if you bought a coffee to donate to Edward Street Fellowship Center. And it turned out great. It was super fun. I think everyone enjoyed it. Yeah.
I know, I did.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. It was super fun to put together. And and the two people playing, Sadie Willis and Austin Bourne. Austin Bourne's on the track team with me as well. And, yeah, they're just great people. And everyone involved just made it super fun. And the staff and our major MEA, you know, helped me figure out where to go with it and what to do. And they were super helpful as well. And it was a great, super fun senior project. It was awesome.
Definitely. It was phenomenal. Just glad you had the chance to sit down and talk with us about that. We're actually going to have that package come out pretty soon.
Yeah,
also.
And I edited it.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I can't wait to see it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, we'll bring things back to more on the track field.
On the trail, right?
Yeah, it's cross country, so I guess the trail.
We're gonna bring things back to the trail here. You finished fifth place in the 5,000 meter indoor championship, fourth place in the outdoor championships in the 10K in the CUSA championships, and now fourth overall. Austin said you weren't human. Yeah, you're not human.
Oh my goodness.
You've had a very dominant season throughout this year so far, and you've been setting tons of personal records. But, and I know this is a tough question to ask, but how does it feel to be like just outside of the top three throughout these performances? Does that drive you to be better?
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. I know, like, whenever I was a freshman and a sophomore, you kind of get with these big, huge races, you just kind of feel a little lost in the pack, you know, and you're just like working on yourself, getting faster. But now, like, I'm starting to kind of be more aware of the people I'm around and, like, see more familiar faces of and these front packs in the races. And, yeah, so at conference, I felt like I was so far away from third place whenever I was finishing. I felt like they were just way ahead of me. And then, like, looking back at the times, I realized I was only 2 seconds. I was like, oh, man, like, that wasn't that far. So, I mean, definitely, you know, I've definitely, like, kind of stepped back and said, like, okay, like, what can I do to take it to even next level, and just what can I do better in any way to, you know, get a little faster. And, you know, I'll be here another year. I'm coming back for grad school, so maybe next year, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
And what's interesting to me is just how you were talking about cross country kind of being, like, an individual battle to see, like, how do I take it to the next step? How do I get better? How are you able, or what do you attribute to you being able to set those new personal records? How are you able to get to that level?
I mean, just a lot of hard work and focus, and just like having fun with it too. Going to practice every day and showing up focused and ready, and not being afraid of the pain that's gonna be in that race, and be ready to be uncomfortable, and just staying focused with the eating and the resting and the recovering and all that. It's a lot. It's a 24-hour job, you know, and it takes a lot of work. And but I really enjoy it, so it's been a really fun process.
You were able to go to the regional in freshman year, correct? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And you talked about it, you know, kind of when you're a freshman or sophomore, you're kind of lost in that, and you're actually planning to go in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Just how do you feel about it this time around, and what are you focusing on right now before that event?
Yeah, so the goal for it is, like, top 25 is, like, the all-region team, so you get, like, awarded for that. So so far this season I've finished in the top 25 every race, so I'm hoping to keep that trend going for this one. And, I mean, that would be really cool, because I remember seeing one of my teammates, Sandra Spott. She's Polish, and she's so awesome. She's had a rough go-round lately, but I remember seeing her get that whenever I was, like, a freshman. She'd be like, whoa, like, look at her. That's so cool. That's amazing. And then, like, talking at practice now, like, whoa, that's, like, kind of obtainable now. It's just really cool to see that. So I'm very excited. I'm really pumped for the race.
Could you explain to the viewers how regionals work specifically? Is it just the South region, North, like in other NCAA tournaments, is South, North, West, East, kind of Midwest, matter of fact. Could you explain how that works? You said top 25, but how does that work also with the team, also with the teams kind of working together and point system there? Could you explain that?
Yeah. So regionals is to qualify for nationals. Just to be realistic, you know, we're probably not going to do that this year.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in the South region. I can't remember how many regions there are, to be honest, but I know it's like us, Louisiana, Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, trying to remember who else. But so it's like, you know, the South region, and then there's different regions, and everyone competes in, like, in their region. And then it's based on time and place for, like, nationals, which, you know, probably isn't going to happen this year. But so the top 25 do get, like, awarded, like, you're on the all-regional team. So, yeah.
Got you. Nice.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Who, this is just me asking, but who all will be running for Southern Miss there?
Yeah, it's going to be the same group we've had this year.
Okay.
So, you know, me, Cassidy, Kate Maddox, Sarah Parnell, Caitlin Cartwright, Carlin Beal.
I hope you're not forgetting anyone.
I don't think I did.
It wasn't like a selected group, like only a few of you all were going.
No, it's the same group. Same solid group we've had all year. Yep.
But if you do place in the top 25, you do get to move on specifically just by yourself?
No. Okay. So I can't remember how it's like based on placing and time for nationals.
Mm-hmm. So it's team based more than individual
kind of? It's kind of both.
Okay.
It's kind of both. But yeah, nationals probably for me and the team is, you know, just not in the picture this year. But hey, maybe next year.
You never know though. You never know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. I don't want to count anything out, but you know.
Yeah.
So I have kind of a quirky question to sort of close out here. So to people that want to try to make it to this regional event, obviously, this is a sport where everyone's constantly moving. Where is the best place to watch from, in your opinion?
Oh, okay. So that depends on the course. So we're, like, kind of running all over the place, you know, coming around in cross country because it's just, like, a trail that whoever creates. And it's kind of hard to explain, I guess. It'd be better to look at a map. But, yeah, the parents and coaches are, like, running from the start to the mile mark, to the 4K mark, to back to the finish, and it's pretty funny sometimes, like, if you can kind of look around to see, like, parents just booking it across the field and stuff, so, it just depends on the course, but you definitely want to see the finish, and usually the start, so, which is usually pretty close together, yeah.
Cool.
Actually, I have one more question, too, to kind of close this off.
Okay.
With the success
of this season, and not even this season, in your career here at Southern Miss, have you taken in the success that you got that you had during the season, or is it just like whatever, and you just kind of move on to try to get better? Because Charles, just mentioned a lot of achievements that you have received this year. And so is it like, have you had like time to really take in and realize what you've done, or is it just like whatever and you just move on to the next race?
A little bit of both, I guess, you know. I mean, it's awesome and it's so fun, but you know, it never really stops, you know. Like, once you hit a bar, that bar moves, and you just want to keep getting better, and you don't want to definitely enjoy it, because I mean, we all work so hard to you know, do what we do. So definitely like enjoying it and having fun, but also, you know, knowing that this isn't like where it stops, you know. I just want to keep getting better and better and just keep doing what I've been doing, and just staying focused and not just relaxing and thinking, you know, I got this or whatever. So yeah.
We want to thank you again, Lena, for coming on the show. We had a great time. We hope you did too.
Thank you guys. Yes. Yeah, so fun. You guys are awesome. This is so cool.
Thank you.
And good luck at regionals coming up, though. I know it's a big thing for the entire team and all that. So good luck, and thank you again for stopping by.
Thank you guys.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Lena May from the cross country team. When we come back, we will have our debate section on the women's basketball team, and I will talk to Austin, Charlie, and Charles on what their thoughts are from the exhibition last night.
It was kind of crazy, y'all.
So when we come back, we will talk about that. This is the 4th Street Sports Show, and this is Southern Miss Radio.
California Love Signature coming up.
4th Street Sports.
And welcome back to the 4th Street Sports Show with Kobe, Charlie, Charles, and Smooth Voss. Now we get into our debate section. And last night we had a very big game with the women's basketball team. As we said earlier in Eagle Eye, the Lady Eagles dominated Southeastern Baptist in a 109-18 win, posting a 91-point differential. Now, I wasn't able to attend the game last night because I had homework duties that I had to do, but Charlie, Charles, and Austin were there. So guys, can you guys give me your thoughts on what you saw last night? Anybody can start.
Yeah, I was there for practice as well, and like I said, it might not be the best gauge. No disrespect to Southeastern Baptist, but they're getting things together still. And in practice, I mean, they were competing against each other. I guess that's a better gauge. And honestly, I saw lots of mistakes in practice. It looked cleaned up just after 2 or 3 days, but in that last practice, they stayed there an hour later. They were there for 5 hours.
They got that Mamba mentality going right there.
Yeah. So, thing I've noticed, it's interesting. Coach McNellis said this on our show. They keep a turnover chart. It's a little whiteboard at practice, right? And it's got a bunch of different columns, saves, made shots, things like that. But the first columns are turnovers and fouls, and that's been a big problem that Coach McNellis has been trying to identify. And it really looked like in practice that they were struggling with turnovers, so that's what I'm concerned about. I'm just starting kind of playing devil's advocate, because we could sit here and say they looked amazing yesterday, which they did.
I guess I'll go. I thought Charles was gonna go. I was gonna take the high road here. From what I saw, it was good to see them come out and dominate as they did. I think the huge plus from tonight was the defense. Well, from last night was the defense. They played a lot of passing lanes. We saw Dominique Davis get a couple of steals. Malia even pitched in. But like you said, it's hard to gauge against a team like Southeastern. What is it, Southeastern Baptist?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mean to mistake their name, but it's hard to gauge a team like that because their talent level is not like ours. They were smaller size guards. I don't believe they had anybody above 6'2 or 6 feet on their team except for like one girl. So it's very hard to gauge from that. But f- from what I saw defensive wise, they played well. They got into passing lanes, but then again, Southeastern Baptist, they just made terrible decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But to start, it was pretty rocky for them. I must say, for the Golden Eagles, at first it started out pretty neck and neck to a sense where they couldn't put in baskets, but. Like,
I wouldn't call neck-neck. They were up 20-0 in the first five minutes, bro.
But I'm saying that first couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Specifically, let me specify. Those first couple of minutes, then the first couple of two or so minutes, the Golden Eagles, they struggled a bit to find themselves. But they got themselves going in later into that quarter. They really picked it up in transition. Like we saw them getting in the passing lanes, their defense led to a lot of points. Specifically, I think it was for the whole game, 41 points off of turnovers. I'm going to clarify that one more time. It was 41 points off turnovers. So they played well. I like what I saw from Malia and Fess. Fess had a pretty knockdown shot. Kelsey also.
From the free throw line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They knocked down their shots. Their game slowed down for them. Like you said, the passing. It was a lot of good passing. I feel like they could have made some even the extra pass a couple of more times. But I really like what I saw. It was a bit bumpy at first. Just a bit bumpy. There were turnovers. An issue with the shot clock at one point.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that has to just go with the change they've had kind of with the guards. We saw Brekayla go out. Mm-hmm. She looked like she was fine, but if they suffer an injury at guard, you got to start asking questions again because you already got Daisha out for who knows long.
Yeah, and the transfer, Macy Weaver, she's out.
Specifically at the guard position with Destiny out too. I don't know how comfortable Dominique would be at Dominique's probably going to play off ball, like shooting guard, but Rose is going to be their point guard for now. And Rose Warren is still trying to get comfortable. I talked with Rose after practice on Friday, and the turnovers are a big thing for her that she's trying to minimize. But she was telling me that she likes to play point guard because she played a little last year. She said it helped her with her vocality on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that everybody on the team agrees with, even Coach McNellis, is that this team's strong point is their communication. McNellis on 4th Street said, we've had former players come and say, Coach, I've never seen a team like talk like this before. They're all vocal leaders. They all talk to each other. And the movement, the ball movement, it was present on that court. So that's something I think we can – go ahead, check off, say that we're going to see this season.
Yeah. And you guys have brought up just about everything that you can bring up. However, I want to highlight just how skilled our shooters are at getting open on the perimeter.
Don't get me started.
I'm not going to name names because I don't want to give any other teams an advantage.
They got their own scouting reports. Let's give them their credit.
Okay. All right. So Emma Walhoff and Lauren Gross have.
Yeah.
They were running and running their routes or whatever, getting open. I don't know. I've never broken down game before. You'll have to forgive me, but. They just did a phenomenal job getting open, and it's like Austin said, there were opportunities where there could have been an extra pass made, and oh snap, Lauren's got an open shot on the three. It's crazy.
That was something interesting was that Coach McNellis and her staff were running every kind of combination because they don't have a determined starting lineup, or at least didn't before yesterday, because they're kind of trying to see the best five that plays together, because there's a lot of talent on this team, right? But, of course, what's the group that will play best together? And an interesting combination was having Lauren and Emma on at the same time. We won't see that, but those are their shooters, right?
Yes.
And I just want to give the audience a little background on Emma. I tweeted it yesterday, but Emma Walhoff, if you don't know her, she set the national high school record with 581 career three-pointers in high school. And basically, the Lady Eagles ranked last in every three-point statistic last season in the conference. And from what I saw in practice, she made four in-rhythm, game-type shots. She's going to be their go-to shooter. She wasn't even on the court as much as other people, but if you look at the box score from last night, she took the highest volume of shots. When she's on the floor, she's going to get her shots. And you saw that the offense was giving her those shots. They want her to take those shots.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And she was pulling at will.
Every time. And then she kind of slowed down where she made those passes.
And I think that was a bit of a kind of say maturity, because she did have a lot of shots.
Yes.
Extra shots she could have taken. She shot 3-for-8 from the field.
That's respectable. That's very good.
But I think she did a good job of balancing it. At first, she came in trying to pull that three, but you can also see the excitement from the bench when she pulled the three. Yeah. Everybody was like, it's going in, because of how you stated how great of a shooter she is, and she has a pretty nice form also.
That's going to be an interesting piece. I hope. Yes. I'm going to, you know, sit back, but I really hope that they get her involved this year. Yeah, I'll just
absolutely.
Say that.
And for those people who are unaware, Emma had a historic high school career. We're talking, what'd you say it was, 581 made threes in her entire career in high school? I mean, that's like... hang her number in the rafters right there. Tell
and
you that.
I feel like we got to talk about, you know, the big player this year, Malia Grayson, CUSA freshman of the year, only the second Lady Eagle in program history to be named Rookie of the Year in the respective conference. But she's been just showing out all practice from what we've heard, and they've been working on her hook shot, bringing that little action back. She, I believe, how many points did she get, Austin?
She had 12 points.
12 points, yeah.
Total.
All the bigs looked comfortable.
One of the six players that scored in double digits that day.
all of the bigs looked comfortable from their jumper, which I think is big. Malia even extended almost to the three-point line on one of her shots. So I'm excited to see her jumper involved in this. And we know that she can just body and play bully ball a little bit. So, McNella said she thinks Malia could potentially, you know, have pro potential.
Yeah, she did state that, yes.
So, it's going to be interesting to see how much she takes her game up this year. And she's definitely going to be that kind of it factor, I think, for Southern Miss basketball.
Yeah, and also, I just want to kind of just shout out Fess Hawkins. I thought she was one of the most improved and well-rounded players outside of Malia. I don't want to say big man-wise, but big-wise. You look at her. Kelsey played great also, but Fesh's jump shot, it was smooth. It was smooth. It was all net. You get what I'm saying? So she had a pretty good shot. Kelsey, all of the big shot pretty well from that mid-range shot. I thought that was a pretty good balance between the mid-range shot and the three-point shot. And also, I just want to state on the – on the shooting side, they did shoot 38% compared to 24% from last season, which is a huge improvement. I know, again, it was Southeastern Baptist.
And
but still,
it is one game.
Shooting is shooting. Yes, in one game. But I still want to kind of let the fans know it's just one game against a very – not a good opponent.
We are here to respect our opponents, but we are the better team.
They were.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got a lot of work to do. That's what I'll say for them. But it was still great also to see a win in the expedition match, and I can't wait to see what else they have to offer this year.
McNellis on the last practice said they're struggling, so we probably are going to see some growing pains. Yes. Like, we're not advertising it to be, this is going to be a team.
I'm not
advertising
it that way. I don't want
From what I saw, just for that little bit, they are just having some, I wouldn't call fundamental issues, but just trying to get on the same page as far as, and you know, that's a lot in part to not having that point guard, not having those.
Yeah, that'll be a struggle for games too.
McNellis called Rose Warren the most valuable player on the team just because of her versatility. She can play the 1-4. It's just whether she can get, you know, situated to where they want her for point guard for the time being until Daisha Allman can come back, because we haven't even talked about Daisha, but Daisha is a huge player for this team, so we hope that she can get back on the court as soon as possible. And again, Southern Miss women's basketball will play their first regular season game November 9th against William Carey.
At the Reed Green.
Yes, sir.
Yes, exactly. But, and, you know, on that note, we're going to go ahead and transition into our flowers segment. I know that's usually Kobe's job, but I felt like hopping in this time. Sorry, Kobe.
You're good. First, we start in soccer, of course. Freshman Iana Izquierdo was named Conference USA Freshman of the Year after recording 19 points in her first year at Southern Miss, including a team high of 7 goals. So, shout out to Iana Izquierdo. Also on soccer, Kendall Minage earned 4th Street Player of the Week after earning 9 saves against UTSA, securing Southern Miss first division title in program history. Just a huge shout out to soccer in general. And also, 4 Golden Eagles were given Conference USA all conference honors, with first team being Ariel Diaz and Yanni Skiedo, and third team being Kendall Minage and Macy Pendleton. And also, shout out to the Lady Eagles basketball team for posting what would have been the second highest scoring game in program history with 119 points if they counted exhibition games. Regardless, 191 point win is something to give flowers to.
Yeah, and we don't want to forget, special thanks and flowers to Lena May, especially for fourth place in the CUSA championships, and for also sticking for the whole show. Yes. That's a first.
Yeah, it's the first guest to stay the entire time. Oh, and also
first team all conference. Also,
we also we mentioned it twice already, but three times is definitely a charm. She was first team all conference at those meets. So congratulations.
What you got over here, Charles?
Oh, I don't want to sound like a fool here. She was recently named to the all academic conf team, or what was that? Yeah, I got a nod of approval. There you go. I got that right. I saw a tweet about it, and I was trying to find the tweet, and then you put me on the spot. But yeah, so she's get more. That's... all of the flowers were raining flowers on Alina over here.
Real hell flowers, Nathan. Real flowers.
All... real flowers. Yeah. Also, to also mention our candidates, Jason Brownlee had a career high of 120 receiving yards against Middle Tennessee last week. So shout out to him too. And also as well, Kenzie Smith, 43 assists, 17 digs in the second match, would have 73 combined assists for the whole weekend against Louisiana Tech in volleyball. So shout out to Kenzie Smith and Jason Brownlee as well.
And also just last flowers are just thanking the Southern Miss seniors. We had 2 senior nights on volleyball and soccer.
Yes.
Just thanking all those athletes that have contributed to Southern Miss athletics for their last 4 or however long they've been here.
Yeah, exactly. Be it a COVID redshirt
senior. It's getting a little confusing now.
Senior. We thank you for all the hard work that you put into our program here at Southern Miss. The community is very proud of you for all the work that you've put in, and we wish you all the best in your future endeavors, be it in grad school or in the workforce. So we did want to dedicate one portion of this show. We want to give a moment of silence for in light of some recent events that happened here on campus. The student that is no longer with us was reportedly a lifelong Braves fan, so we have to go ahead and show our support for our fellow sports fan. We're going to have just a moment of silence to sort of pay tribute to him. So rest in peace, man. You're in a better place now. Know that you are missed by many, and will not be forgotten anytime soon, man.
Thank you. So our thoughts and prayers are with the Southern Miss community, his family, his friends, and everybody who was affected by this tragedy that took place last week. So now, moving on, that has been our show, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, thank you to Lena May for sitting in and coming through the 4th Street today with us. Thank you. We very much appreciate it. It's hard to say. We have a lot. If you missed the show today, the podcast will be up tomorrow on all podcasting formats as well. Also, we will be on YouTube as well. So like, comment, and subscribe as well to our YouTube as well. And of course, 88.5. Oh, and you had something to say also?
Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt, Cubby, but I got to get this Eagle Screech out my system right now.
Oh, we forgot about that. I forgot that was a thing.
Excuse me. All right.
Ben, get ready to plug the cords after this.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Ka-ka!
All right, I'm done. All right. I just had to get it out of my system.
I don't
y'all
know.
Feel that.
You had to let the beast out.
I don't know what that ending part was, but I, that wasn't
you know
really.
You know, the eagle. Okay, I don't want to stretch it out, but you know the eagle screech that they play is actually not an eagle. It's a falcon. So there we go.
Oh, that's come on. You and your... Yeah, see, Charlie is a big bird person, so
I am.
You would know that.
Yeah. That means he loves animals, birds. So, moving back on to what I was saying, you can catch us on 88.5 every WUSM every week, southernmissradio.com. The TuneIn Radio app, Facebook Live. Thank you for tuning in. You can also catch us there. And of course, like I said, if you missed the show today, we will be on all podcasting platforms tomorrow. But this has been a great show today. My name is Kobe.
My name is Charles.
My name is Charlie. Who knows? I might be starting a bird podcast soon.
And Smooth Austin.
And this is if we are the 4th Street. Sportsman, and this is the 4th Street Sports Show. This is Southern Miss Radio, and we will be going into the next hour. So, peace and love, everyone. Have a great day.
4th Street Sports.
Peace out.
3, 2, 1.
Thanks for listening to the 4th Street Sports Show. Tune in next week, Tuesday, 5 p.m.